You already have to edit all this out, so have a good time.
I'm just a hunk of burning love. Hi, Mary. We haven't done a podcast in actually 10 years.
They don't need to know that. Well, actually, they do know that, but like, we're back.
We are back.
Mm. Guys, school is just like, you know, I don't know if you guys know this, but me and Maggie are like, you know, older teens and we are in school. I'm not a teen, but you know, you are. You're an older teen. I'm not going to give away our actual ages, but
we're both in college where we live.
We're in college and it can get busy, but we're trying our best to give regular content for y'all.
Yeah. I think we do podcasts, we post a lot, we do lives a lot, so there's always content of us. So if you're sick of us, be honest, but I like us.
If you don't already follow our Instagram pages, we're most active over there, and you know, you get like a sneak peek of what's to come on the podcast. So if you don't follow us,
I think honestly everyone who listens to this podcast probably follows us,
already knows who we are. I don't know, we are coming up. Okay, let's segue. We're coming up in, how do you, what's the
up and coming
girl, we have a sponsor now. How do we feel?
I'm actually, when you told me the news of this, I was like, I don't believe you. I am not convinced, but literally. I have it in the book of the podcast notebook we have. It's written in there, so it must be real.
It's real if it's written in the notebook, but we just wanted to give a huge shout out to Surly Sue Media for sponsoring the Elvis Right Now podcast.
Yes, ma'am. We hope you enjoyed this episode.
We've been excited to do this episode for a hot minute, so I'm pumped.
We sound drunk. I love us.
I'm so tipsy. I'm literally not. I'm drinking lemon water. We need to just chill.
Fanta. Fruit Twist. Not sponsored. Surly Sue Media is sponsored. That's so crazy.
Surly Sue Media loves us. If you guys... Wait. What? Never mind. If you guys don't know about Surly Sue Media, wait.
Please. Okay. So, Mary.
Yes, ma'am.
In this podcast, I thought, was this my idea? I think it was.
Oh, yeah, it was.
Anyway.
So, I got the book, and then I was like, Maggie, you should get this book. And then she bought it, and then we were like, let's do a podcast on it.
So, there's this book. If you don't know about it, let me actually get it, because I don't even have it. I didn't buy it, girl.
Girl, please.
Let me grab it. It's called Elvis Speaks, and it's by... No one. Who is it by?
it's in the front cover.
Elizabeth McKeon and Linda Everett. Ooh, Vince Everett. She's related.
She knew.
She been new. So this is kind of just like the every page has a couple Elvis quotes on it. It's very quick read if you like just only Elvis sourced stuff.
Yeah.
This is it, honestly. And if you don't, you're not like a heavy reader like me, like you don't want to devour books. Very nice, very kind of bathroom. Your aunt has this in her bathroom, like, oh, Marilyn Monroe quotes or like Dolly Parton quotes. It's just like literally. Elvis quote. It's really cute. I really like it. And we're going to just go through some of our favorites in it.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of the times, you know, you always wish you could know what Elvis thought about this or what he had to say about that. And this book is helpful because it separates it into different like categories. So there's a Hollywood section, there's a concert section, there's ones where he's talking about his fans, one where he's talking about love. So it kind of breaks it down for you. And like Maggie said, I read this in like a half hour. It's very quick, but it's very insightful. I'm into it.
The only thing I will say, because this is an honest review, I don't know these women who's written this, but I will say I wish kind of that they put after every quote where they got it from, like Interview 1996. Like,
yes.
1996? Girl, 1966.
Elvis was popping in 96.
Only because some people want to know, like, when did he say this? Or, like, what's tea on this? But, yeah, that's my only
That's the only thing that I thought as well. I didn't even bring that up to you. So I'm glad you brought that. But sometimes it'll say like underneath, like, you know, after the reading. Right. But then some of them you're just like, well, I would like to know where he said this and who he said it to. But
Yeah, sometimes you want to know the context. So if you're looking for like quotes in context or conversations, this is not that, but it's just like a little quote book you can refer to. And I don't think any of it is very far-fetched. I know sometimes you read a book and you're like, Elvis didn't say that, girl. I think a lot of this, it's quotes you'll already know, and a lot you won't, let's be honest. Like, you're not going to know all of these, queen. But quotes that, like, I read them and I can hear him saying, like, I think he did say this stuff, to be honest.
Yeah, there's nothing, like, out of the ordinary for him. If you know him, you know that he would most likely say these things, so.
Yeah, I was talking to my mom about it. She was like, what's the podcast about tonight, girl? And I was like, we're going to go through the quotes. And she just said, like, isn't it crazy how Elvis isn't, like, known for being intelligent? Like, she was like, he's kind of a philosopher, isn't he? And I was like, yeah, very, like, very intelligent. And you don't expect it from outer appearances, just because I feel like the stigma is if you're good looking, you're stupid. Or if you're Southern, there's a huge stereotype that Southern people are
hillbilly
or uneducated. Right. I think, not that Elvis was like educated amazingly, not that he went to like college or anything, but I think that kind of intelligence that comes from Elvis has nothing to do with like school. It's very like, I researched this on my own, and that speaks more to me than like school knowledge. It's like, I sought this out for myself and I believe this myself and I formed my own opinion.
Exactly. And yeah, we've talked about this before. But like, just how he, like you said, he's not book smart, but he's like almost like better. He's like, it's better than being book smart, the kind of personality he had, just because he worked for the stuff that he knew. And he was like a very, you can tell he's such a emotionally deep person. And like that can lead to, you know, he wanted to know a lot about religion, and he was very like a deep thinker about love and like topics like that. And so it's just interesting to like hear him talk, because like you said, a lot of people literally don't know how smart he was, but he was very progressive and very intellectual in his own way.
For some people, if you're like book smart, you can come across like above certain people. That is like a stereotype as well. But I think a lot of people who are actually like well educated in the way of like school or college or whatever come across as like know it all, which Elvis does not at all. So that's why I find him more endearing than like book smart people, quote unquote book smart, is that like he found this out for himself. He had the thirst for knowledge, if that makes sense. And like wanted to know this stuff. It's not like, oh, I was forced to learn this in a school for a degree. I was forced to learn this because I paid money for college. Like, it's very, I came from nothing, but I wanted to make something and I wanted to form my
exactly
own opinion. And I think that's the like the draw for me. Yeah, that, like, he wanted to learn.
That's a really good way to put it. I never thought about it that way, but yeah, a lot of it is like kind of like he always, you know, prefaces it with saying like, oh, well, I feel like, or in my opinion, because it's not like, well, I know this to be a fact, which can come off as like, you know more than me or whatever. But when he was talking, you know, it's kind of just coming from what he researched on his own and what like he felt in his heart.
Literally.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to straight up say something that ties in with what we just said, like, which is one of the quotes, and it says, if I say the army made a man out of me, it would give the impression I was an idiot before I was drafted. I wasn't exactly that.
I love that.
I love this quote so much, because literally he was so underestimated, because rock and roll was seen, at least by people who didn't like rock and roll, as like juvenile and rebellious and like not the thing to do. So I think Elvis was kind of like a poster child for a lot of people, or like a bad example, like, do not do what he does. He's an idiot. He's just like a rock and roller. He's got nothing in those brains, honey. For him to actually say, wait a minute, like, I wasn't a hoodlum before the army. I've always been like this. You just didn't care to see it until I got my I served certificate. I think it like says a lot about his views on the army, but I think he's putting across this idea that like people who go in the army are not better because they were in the army. I was already like this.
I feel like, you know, what you're saying is that he, you know, when he first started, he was not respected by a lot of adults at all, or a lot of, you know, older people. But then after he came out of the army, all the adults were like, ooh, Elvis, like, serve this country.
And everything.
Exactly.
Like, and I think it's a lesson in respect, is that just respect everyone, because you don't even know what he's like. Like,
Right.
I think a lot of people expected him to, and he very well could have just skipped the army. He had enough money to like pay people off to not go. And
right.
I think that is like something to respect. However, I think if that's what it takes for you to respect someone, what's your motive? Like, what are you like as a person if you have to see someone go through something so horrible?
Well, yeah, I just feel like, you know, a lot of people do that all the time, especially even now, girl, we see it every day. But like people just like, oh, because you make this kind of content or because you, you know, move like this when you sing, then you must be a satanic worshiper or something. Like people literally thought he was like evil, like genuinely evil. And so, but then after he served his country and he stepped up and was responsible or whatever, then people were like, oh, maybe I didn't understand who he actually was. But they could have done that before, they, like you said, they could have done that way before he proved, in quotes, proved himself to them.
I think it still was an important step in Elvis. Like, if he did actually say, like, no, I'm not doing the army, I think it would have got him a lot of, like, backlash. And I'm so happy he did do it, because not only was it, like, a big thing for him to, like, prove to himself he could do, but it did show a lot of people, like, oh, I am this person. But, again, he shouldn't have had to do such a drastic thing to show it. I don't know. I feel like I'm mixed views on this, so I shouldn't comment. Well,
it's also just the way, like, you know, it was back then. Rock and roll was not smiled upon. And the army, you know, if you were brave enough to serve your country, it was obviously looked upon as a noble thing. Yeah. So it's kind of just the way that the times were. But I totally get what you're saying. Like, it wasn't, and it still wouldn't be right for that to happen now.
Yeah, I think good on you. But for, like he said, like, people think I was an idiot before I was drafted and now I'm out. He knows himself to say, like, I wasn't exactly an idiot before I went to the army, girl. Right. So if I said the army made me a man, I would be tricking myself into thinking I wasn't a man already. Like,
exactly.
And I love that quote for that reason. Like, I think a lot of people underestimate him in every sense.
Oh, literally still, like, all the time. I believe that he's one of the most misunderstood people, entertainers, whatever, of all time, because people are just too ignorant to actually sit down and say, stripping away this part of him that I think I know, what was he actually like? And that's what people just don't take the time to do.
I think as well, a lot of people who love Elvis are like, Elvis is the best musician of all time, best performer ever. And a lot of musical historians would say, like, his contributions to music are everything to me, girl. But a lot of people would turn it on its head and be like, well, that he's overrated. Like, he's not that special. They might hear him and think he sounds like every other 1950s singer to my ears, which is perfectly fine. Like, that is an opinion. But I think, like, he's underestimated in the fact that he was the impact, he was the moment. Like, come on now, he was the moment. And like, it's kind of unfathomable to people now, so I understand when, unless you study him or research him or like are a huge fan of his, where you were going to turn around and be like, kind of overrated for me. I just think,
yeah,
it's like, do you not understand the impact, girl? Maybe if you don't like his music, but if you're denying his like iconicity or something like that, or his impact or whatever, or his contribution to music,
yeah, I think
that's such an understatement. That's such like a, what would you say, you're underestimating.
Well, and I feel like I can understand like how our, it's a generation thing. Like, I can understand how people our age just, you know, they would like his songs, or they'd be like, oh, I know, like, he popped off or whatever in the 50s. That's really all they really know. And they don't really see the need to, like, they don't really feel the desire to go out and learn about him and like what he really did, because they're just not interested in him. They're interested in like what Taylor Swift and Harry Styles, I don't know. But like, if then the flip side of that is, if you're going to be out there speaking your opinion on why Elvis doesn't deserve this and why Elvis isn't the king of rock and roll, why Elvis shouldn't be praised because he stole this or he was this or whatever, that's the point where you need to take a step back and say, let me actually research this, because maybe what I've been hearing isn't the real tea. And then you would be able to find out, like, you know, at that point you're using your voice to spread fact, things that you think are fact. And that's the point where you need to educate yourself.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. My turn, girl. The first quote I marked This actually has one of those little descriptions on where and why he said this. This quote was said after reading the review for Love Me Tender, which was his first ever film, girl. And he said, "I'll never make it. It'll never happen because they're never going to hear me because they're screaming all the time." And I thought this was so sad because literally, this could get us down a rabbit hole, and I don't want to go down that rabbit hole, but his movie career was not black and white. A lot of people think, like, oh, Colonel just didn't get him the parts that he wanted, and that's why he was so miserable in his movie career, but that's really not what happened. They just, you know, the fans wanted what the fans wanted. The fans wanted to see Elvis kiss the girl, sing to the girl, win the girl, fight a guy, you know, that kind of thing. And that's what made a lot of money. And so they had to kind of stick to that mold. And so he was stuck in it that way. And so I feel like this quote really goes back to that because he's saying, they're never going to see, girl, what I can actually do because they're too busy screaming over how, like, cute I look in the scene singing to a dog. It's really, really sad, girl. And it's true. Like, it was Love Me Tender, so it was his first movie. But he predicted it even then. He said, like, girl, it's not going to happen for me because people aren't going to let it happen for me.
Yeah. And I think, again, another statement in that I'm not this naive baby. I know where I stand and I know what people want from me. And even though I'm going to deliver it, it's, like, not my dream. Like, I think he definitely wanted to be an actor, not more than he wanted to be a singer, but I think it was such a, like, passion for him because he loved, like, James Dean and, like, Marlon Brando and people like that, and he just wanted to emulate them. And I think he did get the chance. I think, like, King Creole and stuff now is considered, like, a classic and things, but I think he was never really in his time appreciated for acting because all the fans wanted to see was, like, him doing anything. And I'm not going to sit here and be like, Elvis is, like, Oscar-worthy, girl. We all know he's not.
Right. But there's also, there's quotes in here. I just have one right here. It's on page 121. But it said, he says, "I don't ever want to stop singing, but more than anything, I want to be an actor." And, you know, earlier on, he said, like, oh, I just really want to be a good actor. I want to be like James Dean. I want to do those kind of things. So I feel like it's not like, you know, he just wanted to be good at that craft because he loved acting and he wanted to, you know, help himself get better in that way. And I do believe, like, in the very beginning that he really wanted to pursue acting. I feel like he was ready for that. Like, he was really interested in that.
I know that June, one of his girlfriends, June Juanico.
Yeah.
She said, like, he was so disappointed when he learned that Love Me Tender was going to be a musical. Like, he was so... Mm-hmm. It, like, sank his heart because he really thought, I'm just going to be in a movie and it's going to be really cool. And I'm just going to get to act without having the pressure of kind of singing or making an album or recording music. Like, this is something totally separate from that. I'm going to be able to branch out and do other things. And then when the Colonel was like, no, you're singing in it.
You need to sing in it. Like, it's not...
downtrodden moment for him. He was like, oh, I understand. And that, I think even that, like, kicked in that, like, prophecy of, oh, this is, like, gonna be all the movies and it's gonna be musical.
Exactly. And that's, you know, I hate it. Like, I hate it more than anything. But it's just the way, I mean, Colonel was there to, like, get the most amount of money that he could. And the movie wasn't going to make as much money if there wasn't singing in it because 100%. People knew Elvis Presley as a singer.
100%. If we look at films like Charo and what's the one with no other songs in it?
Wild in the Country is one of my favorites, and it doesn't have that many songs in it. So
the films with less songs make less money, and that's literally the maths of it. Like, even if
Flaming Star,
John's favorite is Charo, right? And I think that was his least money making movie of all time, Elvis movie wise. And, you know, he made 31. One of them's got to be the least money making.
Right.
But if we look, that's the one with no songs in it. There's one song, and it's the title song, Charo, but you don't even see him sing it. It's not like a musical at all. It's a Western. And Elvis probably really enjoyed making that. And we know he really had fun on set and, like, really
absolutely
embodied the role. I mean, hello, he got a beard, which he did not want to have. And he did that. And, like, it's a good Western, in my opinion. I love a Western. I think there's elements of it that could be different just because it's an Elvis film. We've got to make it an Elvis film. So I think there was always potential for some goodness in every movie. There's some actual valuable stuff in every movie that, like, is good. But I think the movies with no songs, just the fans did not want to see them at all. at the time. And I think right. now we appreciate them because we don't have Elvis anymore. I think it's fair to say, like, they might have taken him for granted while he was alive and, like, didn't enjoy the ones where he wasn't singing, which is fine. I'm not, like, blaming them. I think if you loved a singer, you would want them to sing.
Well, going back to something that you said before, how he, you know, he wasn't the best actor, but you have to, you literally, no, I'm not saying this at you, but I'm saying it to everybody. Like, it blows my mind because I am a theater arts major, so I act a lot and I've done a lot of acting, but it just blows my mind that, like, he didn't take one acting class or one lesson on, you know, how to remain truthful and how to, you know, build your objectives, how to break down a scene and the circumstances of your scene. But you look at movies like Love Me Tender when he's screaming and, like, he gets shot, or King Creole when he is crying because he almost killed his dad. Those things, like, are not easy to really, like, capture the truthfulness behind those things. And, you know, we've all seen someone take a script and it's like they're reading the lines off the script. They're not making the story come to life. Literally. And so, literally, I respect Elvis for that because he didn't get to have those lessons, but he still made us believe every single thing he was doing.
Absolutely. You don't have to be obsessed with Elvis to watch the movies and appreciate them. All my friends, we have fun. We laugh at them. Some of them are so funny to laugh at. Literally. Yeah. Not even, some of them, you make fun of them, but some of them are literally funny. Like,
exactly, acting. Exactly.
He's a good comedy actor, especially in the 60s where spoof was such a huge thing. If you take those movies for what they are and, like, the quality of them to be like, okay, this isn't winning any Oscars, but do I like it? And is it enjoyable for me? Yes. And is Elvis Elvis is acting the worst? Absolutely not. Some of the people in those movies suck. The
guy, it's so funny.
The guy in Clambake who sings that duet with him, Who Needs Money Not Me, can't even sing a no. Who is that?
Hope he's listening right now and hearing you bash his butt. Girl, please.
I think... girl, but also they got some top notch actors, not to change the subject, but oh my god,
Bill Bixby was also in that movie, so, like,
so iconic. Literally, Anne Margaret, who is in her own right such a, like, bombshell at the time, like, acting in the industry, everything. Who else has been in Elvis movie? Like, so many people.
For me, I don't know who here has seen Little House on the Prairie, but it's a pretty big show. And Mr. Edwards from Little House on the Prairie is in Charo for no reason.
Cute.
He's just out here being like, I played it in an Elvis movie. What are you going to do about it? And literally, it's so funny.
Kurt Russell, like, girl, you played Elvis years later. Carolyn Jones in King Creole is literally the Addams Family.
The
Bride of Frankenstein is in, what's it called? Oh my god, Easy Come Easy Go, which I don't like, but she's in it.
I'm into Easy Come Easy Go.
So many people who, like,
Angela Lansbury.
Mary Tyler Moore.
Mary Tyler Moore. Yes. Like, yes.
The budget is, girl, it's amazing.
They knew what they were doing.
They really, the original Hulk. Bye.
Girl, Bill Bixby.
Literally, so, like, so random, but also, like, so staple, iconic. I love Blue Hawaii. I love Angela Lansbury in that. She's crazy in that. She's wild.
What is it? What's his freaking name? Chad. No.
Chad.
What'd she call him? Chadwick. You didn't give your mama some good night sugar.
Me, please. Every night to my cushion. Anyways.
True. Should we go on to the next quote?
Yeah, honestly.
Okay,
please.
Your turn.
I want to talk about the fans a little bit, just because we mentioned them, like, only liking the movies where he's sang in. He always loved them. I talked about it on my story not long ago, and I literally was like, the things he did for not himself.
Yeah. Literally. I just gave a speech today, girl. We all know this.
No.
I gave a speech, and Maggie, I included what Maggie said on her story on Instagram the other day because it was so tea, but basically she just said, you know, laid out all these things on the table about, you know, how he left anonymous tabs open at grocery stores for people who might not be able to finish their bill, or, you know, paying for hospital treatments. Girl, everything. You didn't have to.
Letting girls and guys as well, it's not always girls, but letting fans stand outside his house with no hassle, like, literally... You can come and see me. Stopping his car for people. Just giving people everything all the time without question. Like, it's not a question for me. They're my fans. And I wanted to read this little quote that he said about his fans that just is Elvis to a T for me. It's so, so sweet. I love the fans. I love the pretty girls. When they come running to me, I want to run to them, not away from them. And he said this while in the army. So obviously, when you're doing army duty, and loads of people came to see Elvis, like just looking at him, training and stuff, because you weren't like allowed around to see. But he was obviously not allowed to stop training and go over to them or look at them. He was like marching, girl. You're not allowed to like leave the line.
Right.
And he said this, like, I don't want to run away from them. I want to run to them and hug them. I want, like... He loved them so genuinely, the way that I don't think I could compare to any living celebrity, like, at all. I think...
Absolutely not.
I think it's such a huge thing to be like, I love my fans, but a lot of it is, like, for showmanship, right? Is to be like, okay, I know I have to, like, say I love you, whatever, things like that. I think Elvis loved his fans in a different way.
In a different way, because I feel like he never forgot, number one, he never forgot his roots. So he was always thankful to the people that got him to where he was. And also, girl, name me one entertainer that would be okay with people just standing outside their house. Not only people just standing outside their house, but coming out and just talking with those people, giving them an autograph, signing their album, giving them a hug, and not being like, girl, if you show up outside my house, the cops will be called and you will be escorted off the property.
It's very modern to be like, oh, obviously call the police if someone comes outside your house. Mm-hmm. But even back in the day, no people even alive then in Elvis's time were doing this. He's so such a rare thing to do. Like, oh, I'm going to jump into the audience and like kiss the ladies.
Literally.
I'm going to shake people's hands. I'm going to literally give them everything. Leave them wanting nothing. Literally leave them wanting nothing. Because,
that, because he wanted to... Exactly. There's a quote somewhere about how he just wanted to like make people forget about life's issues for an hour and just make them smile and make them have a good time when they came to see him in a show. That's what he wanted. He wanted them to just have a good time.
Literally. And if you've ever seen Elvis on tour, you know that backstage he goes, I have to make it like the first ever show I'm doing. Like it's the same every time, the same amount of ever energy. Because he knew for some people it was a once in a lifetime thing to save up to go across the country and to see their favorite singer of all time for like 2 hours. And one of my favorite quotes, it's not, well, it might be in the book, but it's not one I have from the book, but just in general from off the top of my head, is the quote where he's like, he said, oh, the hotel, I think it's on the album Elvis Speaks, if what's it called? No, it's on the album
Having
Elvis,
Fun on Stage.
Having Fun on Stage. Thank you.
Yeah.
It's on one of those. And he says, oh, the hotel doesn't want us to go past midnight. I'm sorry, guys. And the whole audience is like, oh, sad, boo, whatever. And he goes, but we don't care what they want. And I love it so much because he literally does not care. And he just loves them all. Like, he would give them the world if he could. And he did. He gave them everything, period.
He gave them everything. And you can see that because he was... Yeah, he was Elvis Presley, but he was in debt when he died because he gave everything away. He gave money to anybody, anybody. It didn't matter who you were. It didn't matter if you were a complete stranger off the street. If you wanted a car, girl, and you couldn't afford it, take mine. Like,
and literally, these were people who would not ask for it in a million years. Not people who were like, Elvis, I need some money. Oh, my God, I'm, like, so rich, but I need, like, $400. No, these were people who were, like, his roots people, people who would never in a million years, out of pride, wouldn't ask for money or wouldn't dream of it in a million years that, to have this car. Like, just people window shopping and dreaming like he used to
literally.
Do. He was like, oh my God, let me get, which color, girl? Which color?
That's the story I almost put in my speech was that one time that he was, I think he was buying a car for somebody at the dealership and he saw a lady looking at a car and he went over to her and he was like, hey girl, what's up? And she's like admiring this car because hers is like all like busted and like broken down and she can't like afford it. But she didn't tell him that. She's like, oh, like I would love to have this car because, you know, mine is in bad shape. And he literally told the manager, he was like, put a bow on that one. Yeah. For her. And she started crying and she was like, thank you. You changed my life. Like
there's no one more generous. Like girl, name me. Like not even known for it. Someone who's known for it. Sure. If you're a charitable person, I'm not clocking you. Elvis isn't even known for being charitable. He never told people about doing this shit. You hear it from the people it happened to. They're like, he bought me a car. He bought me a house. It's never like on the news. Oh. He never would tweet it. You can't tweet, I just helped a homeless person.
Literally.
No, girl. Literally, he was doing it because he wanted to. Like, didn't he say giving money is better than having money? Like, sharing money makes money better or something like that, right?
Yes, there's that quote in this book. And I just want to also say that he gave so often anonymously, like to charities and donations and things like that. He didn't want his name, like Elvis Presley donated this much money. He just said, let them have the money. Don't put my name in there.
He didn't want the clout. That's exactly what I love. Like, he did not want the clout of it. He just wanted to do it. And that's all I care about.
Right. And how many people, again, can you say that for now? It's always like, you know, oh, this person donated so-and-so much money to the Australian wildfires in the beginning of, like, 2020. And you heard about, like, all the people who are donating and stuff like that, yeah. Which is great that people are donating. Don't get me wrong. But it just blows my mind that a big entertainer like that could say, I'm going to give, but I want to make sure people don't know that it was me because yeah. I don't want that recognition. It's not about me.
Yeah, and I think even if people are doing that now, we would have no way of knowing, let's be honest. Like, if someone's doing that now and we're like, no one's doing it, obviously we don't know if they're doing it because it's anonymous. But I think hearing about it is so nice now. And I think if Elvis was alive during our time, I think he would be taken for granted for sure. So I'm kind of happy that we're in the era of, like, we have everything he ever did in a box on my shelf. Like,
yeah,
I'm not going to miss anything he ever did, and I love that. And we have stories about him. And yeah, obviously, would I have loved to go to an Elvis concert? Yes, Mian. But, you know, I think there's, like, good in not having that. You know what I mean? Because you wouldn't take it for granted.
Oh, exactly. I have such a problem with taking things for granted, too. Like, and I didn't notice that until, like, COVID, but...
Literally. You don't know what you've got till it's gone. Literally.
Oh, and for sure.
Now that Elvis is gone, I think what you said, like, is he more popular after death? Like, is he? Because maybe...
I genuinely do believe that. And I know some people are out here saying, like, obviously he's not as popular as he was when he was living.
I mean, he's not mainstream, but he's popular.
He's not mainstream, but also, like, his house is voted, like, best, what is it? Best, like, tourism attraction of the year. Like, how many years in a row?
Isn't the White House, like, under? Exactly. Literally, the White House is not tea for anyone, girl.
Yeah, I don't know why they just automatically put the White House as number one. Nobody can beat the White House. But it's just, like, crazy how many, like, things are still being sold, like how many but, like, studio albums are still being put out and people are still buying them, and, like, how many people go to Graceland a year. It's just that he died so long ago, but people still love him as much as they did when he was here.
I think it's so cool as well. I think Elvis fans are the most loyal fans ever.
Oh, absolutely. Like,
the way, if you think about the 70s in music terms, I don't think about Elvis. I think about, like, rock becoming a thing, like hard metal rock and, like, things like that. I don't think of Elvis, but he was selling out every single concert he did.
Every single show, yeah.
His fans are so loyal, and I love that for them as well. Like, they didn't, not to say they took him for granted, they literally didn't, obviously.
Right.
But I think those who did go are very lucky they did go when they did, because you got to see him, girl. I'm so excited. Please.
I know. I was talking to a sweet follower of mine, and she was talking to me about how she met him, like, twice and went to four of his shows, and, like, just describing to me how he kissed her. She got a kiss and she felt his hair, and she said when he bent down to kiss her, she, like, got a whiff of what he smelled like. And then she was going to the store years after, you know, years after she got to see him after he had already passed, and she was in the perfume section, cologne section, and she smelled something. She was like, wait a minute, girl, that's literally what Elvis smelled like. And she found the cologne that I guess he was wearing, because that's what he smelled like when he kissed her. Aww. And she started to cry, like, in the aisle, and the manager had to come and, like, ask her if she was okay. Cute. I know, but, like, that's just how much he means to people. It's crazy. Yeah.
I don't know anyone else who is, like, viewed like that. It's like, he is so amazing. Also, there's endless stories of him, like, before a show being like, do you guys need a lift to the show? We'll show you how to get there, like, follow us in the car.
Yeah, or, like,
after the show. Oh my god, it's just, like, it's unheard of. Imagine going to a concert now and being like, oh, but did you kiss Drake? No.
Did you get invited to sing with him after the show was over? Didn't think so.
I mean, it wouldn't happen today anyway. I'm not like, if that literally happened today, girl, first of all, what? Like, no one would.
But even, girl, no. But even if even happen, girl, did you get to sing with Michael Jackson after his concert? Didn't think so. That please. Wouldn't have happened. And I'm not trying to compare them, please. I'm not trying to compare them. But it didn't even happen back then.
Yeah, no.
Exactly. It was Elvis's thing to kiss his audience. It was Elvis's thing to invite people to the after show party. It was Elvis's thing, girl. And it's just, you would never, and it's crazy to think about, like, girl, he was getting death threats. Like, he put himself in danger. Every single, you know this, like, obviously he was getting, you know, weird stuff. But even when he, like, stepped on the stage each night and, like, bent down to kiss someone and, like, he was so vulnerable in that way, like, giving, just, like, a piece of himself. And he didn't have to do that.
Women jumped on stage and he let them, like, so many. Didn't that one guy try to come on stage and, like, punch him in the face and he just pushed him off the stage, like, girl, please, why is this?
He, like, karate chopped him off the stage, please. Said,
why is this, girl, trash?
That's so funny. Should we do the next quote?
Yes, please. I think it's your turn.
Oh, perfect. Okay. So this one is from the Fame, Fortune, and Fans section as well.
Fame and Fortune.
Wow, please. But he's quoted saying, I wish I could just do that, walk away from the life he was leading, in parentheses. But it's too late for that. There are too many people. There are too many people who depend on me. I'm too obligated and I'm in too far to get out.
You chose sad ones.
They just, because they literally make up his whole life story. Like, for me, this quote is like, so tea, you know what I mean? Cause at the end of his, you know, people were telling him, like, girl, take a break. You don't have to, just take a break for a little while, for a month. Take a vacation, when he was really sick. And he's like, girl, I can't. There's too many people who depending. There's too many people need me. He always thought that too many people, he wanted to be there for everyone. And he didn't want to let anybody down. He didn't want to disappoint anybody. And so I think his fans were the love of his life. And they took precedence over everything else.
So true. Like, so many relationships sort of ended, not even romantic, friendships as well, kind of ended because Elvis was so devoted to his, I don't want to say his job, because I don't think he viewed it as a job. I think it became a job towards the end, and he was like, girl, this is something I need to do. But literally his life, it was his whole, like, livelihood and passion. And I think nothing was going to get in the way. Literally nothing and no one was going to stop him, honestly, from doing that. I think it killed him to do the movies for so long without touring. And that's why the comeback special, to any Elvis fan, is such a moment, because
it's so iconic.
Returning to his, like, prime, honestly.
His and life, his passion.
It's so nice to see. And I love, like, That's the Way It Is and stuff as well. Because that's, like, the first real touring, start of the touring years, and, like, his real shows, you know. I love it. Like, I think that's why I'm an Elvis fan, honestly. I, like, contemplate it a lot, and I'm like, oh my god, like, why? There's something about Elvis that, until you have a podcast and put it into words, you just don't understand.
Exactly. Girl.
Literally, it's so crazy to me that, like,
it is.
Oh my god, I can't even fathom it. Like, anyone.
He's unreal. Person. Exactly. No one else. He seems, like, so unreal to me. And this quote, you know, this quote makes me look at him in two ways, where it's like, how devoted was he? How devoted was he? Insanely devoted. But also, like, I'm so sad for him, too, because. Yeah. Girl, you didn't. We would have understood. Like, we would have understood if you needed to just step away.
That's why it's so hard to, like, devour books in one sitting or watch loads of documentaries at a time about Elvis, because even though it's, like, such a holy thing to have done, or, like, gracious thing to have done, like, literally gave his life to other people all the time.
Right.
I think it's very sad because it's, like, no one asked him for that. I think that's a pressure he kind of put on himself. I think there was a lot of external people telling him, you need to do this to keep people happy, otherwise the money, and, like, there were just outer factors that for him probably dimmed it a little bit and made it seem like, I have to do this, like, it's not even, I can't not do it.
Right.
But I think half of me is like, thank God he did that, because I think in that Destined to Die Young, right, and that whole idea that, like, he would have died regardless, I'm so happy that he lived his life doing literally what he wanted to do, which was sing himself to death. Like, I don't even mean that in, like, a poor way. I don't mean that to be sad. Yeah. I literally mean that. Thank God he got to do that and was able to, like, give it all he had all the time. He never said, you know what, I don't want to, but I'm going to give up because someone fucking told me to. Like, girl, it's so,
that,
like,
made me so sad, Maggie. That's,
it's so sad,
true.
It's so true. And it's so true. I love that. I love him for that. And I'm not, like, glamorizing the fact that, oh my God, he did so much that he literally was so tired and he had to go. I think, but that's kind of beautiful, is that he gave himself so much. He just had, it was his time. Like, God said, you've had your time, queen. And if you are religious, I'm not even religious, and that's what I believe. Like, mm-hmm. I literally think if Elvis, I know a lot of people put him on this pedestal, he's a god. If Elvis isn't God, he is proof of one, because
yeah.
he came here for a certain amount of time, gave everything, and, you know, whoever, whatever, caused him to go, because that was it. That's all you get of my
yeah.
man, sis. He said, that's your time with him. That's your time. That's your time.
Aw, I'm, like, tearing up. That...
No.
True, like, he literally, no, but he, like, did, he died doing what he loved, and how many people can say that? How many people can say, like, you know, I was able to fulfill my passion
yeah.
until my last day, until my last day on Earth.
And Elvis definitely believed in afterlife and was very spiritual in any, like, in all senses. He wore a Star of David, he wore the Christian cross, all of that mm-hmm. stuff. He was very, like, interested in, like, what happens. So I think, if he believes in the afterlife, I think he is there, you know?
And, yeah, absolutely.
You know, if that's something you believe, or if it's not, that's fine. But I think if he is in the afterlife at some time, I think he would have no regrets. He was, and if he did, like, take that break and not sing and, like, not go on tour or whatever, I think he would regret it more and be like, oh, I had more to give, you know?
Absolutely, yeah. That's such a good way to put it. And he, in this book, you guys can see, he talks a lot about, you know, owing his success to God, and how he's not the king. Jesus is the king. I'm just an entertainer. So he definitely did, like, believe in. He was raised, like, Southern Baptist and all that stuff.
Yeah, I have a quote to do with this topic, actually. Religion.
Period. Okay.
This is kind of long, but not really. Okay, so lots of people make fun of what they call holy rollers. They look on them as ignorant and not really religious at all. In the church we belong to, we really feel our religion and get carried away with it. We're not ashamed to show it. I think spirituals are the best songs in the world. They got a beat, and folk down our way really feel that music. Someday I'm going to record me some spirituals. So that's him, like, basically saying he went to, like, Pentecostal church, essentially. It's like,
yes.
When, if you don't know, it's like, there's no, like, script. There's no, like, plan. You kind of can stand up when you want.
Right, it's free. Free praise.
Exactly. Very liberal worship kind of thing
yeah.
in a church. So that's what he's saying. Is like, some people say that that kind of church isn't that religious because it's not very strict. It's not like, okay, let's sit down and, like, read about God. It's very, like, you do what you want. And people kind of looked down at people like that a lot of the time. It's like, oh, you're not really religious. And Elvis especially, because they looked at him and his style of, like, dance and singing, and kind of looked at him like, how can you be religious? Because he talked about being religious a lot. They were like, how can you be religious when you're Satan? I don't think so. So
he's, that's such saying, a good, like, point.
He's literally saying, like, it's for him anyway. I'm not ashamed to show how religious I am. This is me showing how much I love gospel and Jesus and all of this stuff. And I want to record spiritual music, and I can record it, bitch. Like, he kind of popped off.
It's so true, too, because, you know, in the very beginning when he first started out, people were like, girl, why do you move like that when you sing? That is vulgar. Yeah. But he, from the beginning, and I feel like it's so tied back to how he was raised in the church, is like
the roots.
So I am Pentecostal, so I kind of understand what he's talking about, you know, going to this kind of church. But it's very like, you know, you sing and that message from the song moves you to worship. So the message of the song, you know, is so yeah. good, where you're like, I love Jesus. Like, I want to praise Jesus right now. And so I feel like that is so evident in how he views music in all aspects of his life, you know, down the road, where he just felt the music so deeply that he's like, girl, I want to let everybody know how much this music is speaking to me right now and what it's doing to me, because
yeah.
I'm obsessed with it, girl.
Literally. And I think you don't even have to be religious to appreciate that. It can be music you grew up with. And
right.
that's exactly what Elvis did. Like, took the music. Oh, I grew up listening to this and listening to people sing in the style of this, and I want to emulate that because that's what I know and love, girl. I don't like what's on the radio. I want to change this vibe. So I said, let me just... And everyone was like, oh my God, in negative or positive. They said, oh my God, what's he doing? Some of the girls were like, oh my God, what's he doing?
Please. True.
And yeah, I think that just says it for me, is like him saying, we get carried away with it. Someday I'm going to record me some spirituals. And he did. And he those did. Are the only songs he got Grammys for. So what's Tea Queen? What's
you can see how much I always think back to that one part in Elvis on Tour when he's like, guys, it's the stamps, right? The stamps. He's like, the stamps are going to sing. I just want you guys to listen. I'm not going to sing. So just give them your attention. And they start singing. And you just watch his face, and he just like kind of tilts his head to one side, and he just closes his eyes. And you can see that he's in pure glory. Like, he loves it so much.
If you know me, you know that me and my dad watch Elvis on Tour basically at least once a week, if not three times. Like, we watch it all the time. And yeah. I posted the full part of when they sing Lighthouse.
Oh, yes, in the piano, on the piano.
And Elvis doesn't sing. And it's just the guys on the piano kind of jamming, kind of vibing, very impromptu, very spontaneous moment. And Elvis, you see him, like, shake his head and shudder because... Mm-hmm. He feels it so much. He's so, like, swept up in it. And if you don't believe in, like, anything, right, how can you not believe in some kind of energy? Elvis's energy, we were talking about it. You watch him on the screen and you feel it. Like, he's so electric. Right. Imagine, like, being in his presence at a real concert, like, in real life. I would die.
And I always talk about, like, I know Maggie hasn't been, but when you go to Graceland and you step inside the house, it's, like, his literal electricity, his presence, his power, it's all still in there. And you can feel, and I'm not into, like, ghosts or, like, spirits or anything like that. But, you know, like, I do believe in, like, someone's presence. You can feel someone where you are. It's his energy. And it's such a surreal experience.
I think it sounds crazy, but honestly, if you're an Elvis fan, you know exactly what we're talking about, so you get it.
And I felt it when I was, like, literally 10. I was like, he lived here. Like, girl, you can see him, like, living here.
I think it's crazy, and I can't think of anyone else I would ever describe like that. Even, like, people I've known in my own life, I don't, like, say if someone died, I, like, go to their house. I don't feel their, like, spirit, right? I don't feel... Which is fine. I'm not, like, bashing you if you do, honestly. But that's just not me. I'm not the person who's like, oh my God, I can feel, you know, whoever. I'm really not. So I was so surprised when I used to be an Elvis fan back in my cringy days. No, but, like, you do. I don't care if you're not religious or whatever. You feel it, right, guys?
It's like, I always think back to when I went to the National Civil Rights Museum. Mm-hmm. And if you guys don't know, they kind of sealed off the room that Martin Luther King Jr. died in, and kind of, like, I guess staged it to, like, look exactly how he left it. And so that was a moment I will never forget, like, looking into that room and just seeing like how it's frozen in time. But it was not the feeling of, like, oh, I can feel Martin Luther King Jr.'s presence in this room right now. It was just such a different vibe. And honestly, I'm not like it was very impactful, very something I'll never forget. That girl, it was very eye-opening. I don't know, but it wasn't the same. It wasn't the same as, like, walking into a space and being like, girl, he's here, he's in here.
I think it's also the fact that so many people still go to his house and still, like, mourn him and celebrate him and listen to his music. I think, like, it's so huge. He's so huge. Thank you, girl.
My last quote comes from the portion Elvis on Elvis, I think.
Please.
And basically, it's a kind of long one, but it sticks out to me every time. And it says, I never expected to be anybody important. Maybe I'm not now, but whatever I am, whatever I will become, will be what God has chosen for me. Some people can't figure out how Elvis Presley happened. I don't blame them for wondering that. Sometimes I wonder myself. But no matter what I do, I don't forget about God. I feel he's watching every move I make, and in a way, it's good for me. I'll never feel comfortable taking a strong drink, and I'll never feel easy smoking a cigarette. I just don't think those things are right by me. I just want to let a few people know that how I live is by doing what I think God wants me to do. I want someone to understand. And obviously, I just want to follow this up by saying, we know Elvis, you know, there's lots of footage of him smoking. But
I think he's just using that as an example of like bad behavior stereotypically.
Right. And I was also going to say a lot of the times where he was smoking, he wanted to look like a king girl. He wanted to have that vibe.
Yeah, it was just for the
He never really he wasn't like a smoker girl. He didn't girl, please.
I think he's
but anyway,
cigars more than cigarettes.
Oh, absolutely. But he didn't like to drink. He didn't, you know, just sit down and was like, girl, I need to smoke. He wasn't like that. But that's not the point of this. I just
like
wanted to point that out.
Does. If you know a real smoker, you know Elvis and a real smoker girl.
Right. That wasn't the point of this quote. I just wanted to point that out. But just the part where he said, I never expected to be anybody important. And I feel like he really did, you know, die thinking like, girl, I'm going to be dead. I'm going to be gone and they're going to forget about me. And it's going to be over. Like when I'm gone, how are they going to remember who I was? And that is one of my, I love thinking back on that because I'm like, girl, if you could only see how many people still love you in 2021, he would, I don't believe that. He would never believe it. He would never believe it.
Let's go back in time and let him know.
If you could turn back time, please.
If I could turn back time, not Cher entering the chat. I will say, I love that quote. I love that he underestimated himself.
All the time he underestimated himself.
I don't love it. I was literally joking.
Right. And I feel like there definitely was times where he like, girl, I'm a big person. I can't like do this. I can't go out and mingle with people because I'm too big. But
I'm too big.
God, too huge. But I also feel I don't think it really ever did click in his head, or at least not how we feel now. Like, not at the point where it's like, girl, we love you so much, you wouldn't even know.
I think that for anyone, it's a hard thing to process, like, the fame of it. No one can really fathom it at all. If you're born from nothing, if you're born into it, it's kind of like, okay, I can get used to this kind of... I don't think Elvis ever got used to the idea that he was, like... so important to to the people who loved him. I don't think he ever kind of was comfortable. Not that he was uncomfortable, but I think he would never felt like, oh, I'm wealthy. I'm like a rich man. I'm like an important figure. I don't think he would have, because first of all, that's a big ego kind of thing. I don't think he ever gained that ego, but also I don't think he ever like, not acknowledged it. I think he was very self-aware and knew like, I can't do this and I can do this because people would see or blah, blah, blah. But I think it's even hard to fathom like the amount of fame and importance kind of that he had for some people. Like you wouldn't even fathom it.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
I have a kind of quote that ties in with like him being in his roots all the time. There's this quote.
Yeah.
And this is from like early before he was famous, right? And it's like, Mama, I don't want to go. These people got a lot of money and I don't fit in. I just don't feel comfortable. I just don't want to go. Don't make me go. This is his mom. Basically, he got invited. Their whole family got invited to like a wealthy Memphis family's dinner party or like dinner table night. And they were like, he was like, please just don't. Like, I don't want to go. I don't fit in with like wealthy people. And even I think it's such a beautiful quote because it's not him saying like, fuck, eat the rich, whatever. It's just him being like, I'm not like them and they know it and I know it. Why should I, like, why would I pretend?
Right.
And
right.
I think it just translates to me as like, when even when he got money, he wasn't like eating steaks. He wasn't buying clothes that rich people wore. He always like wore clothes he wanted to wear, drove cars he always wanted to drive. Even when he was poor, he was like, I want to drive this car. That was money for him, is like, I want to drive this car, I want to treat my family, I want to be a generous stranger, I want to be that person who's like, oh, let me get you this that you want. It's never like, let me dine on steaks and drink champagne because I can. It's like, he never was that. And I think this quote just sums it up for me personally, and it's such a like random quote, but it's just spoke to me because like it's him saying, I just don't fit in. I don't feel comfortable. Don't make me go. Like, it's literally him saying, do not turn me into, like, this person I'm not. And he always, yeah. he would never do something he wasn't comfortable doing. And I think that, like,
always authentic.
That kind of eases my mind as well, because even you can look at Elvis and be like, but his jumpsuits are so out there and his cars are so expensive and his house is so, well, his house, girl.
Mm.
But
yeah,
he always did that because he liked it, and that's him expressing himself. And it was never like, I have the money to do this, so I'm going to pop off and do it. No, he spent money on things he liked. Have you seen the decor in his house? It's so out there, so crazy, so random.
Exactly. Isn't that
because he liked it? And I think his style, even his personal, like, preferences with decoration, clothes, everything, is so, like, specific and very, like,
yes.
no one has that. And it's not the mark of a rich person. It's the mark of someone who came from nothing and admired people and wanted the things that he could never have.
Well, you can tell it's not the mark of the rich person because he was doing it when he was in high school. He was doing it when
exactly.
he was a young person. He was wearing pink shirts with black pants with a pink stripe down the side, and he was greasing his hair back. Things that people were like, girl, are you okay? Like, what are you doing? Yeah. You look ugly.
And I think people also forget Elvis wasn't a teenager in the 50s. He was a teenager in, like, the 1940s, the way that was not
yes.
a trend. He
kind yes.
of not invented the trend of that. But if you watch Grease and stuff, you're like, girl, everyone was doing that. Girl, not
right, movie. Right. Right.
It's and he didn't his time.
And something, you know, people always ask me, like, what, oh, what's something that, you know, you love Elvis for? Like, why do you love him so much? Something I always go back to is that he was never afraid of, you know, people's opinions of him. He stuck to his guns. He did what he wanted. He yeah. did what he loved to do, girl, what he liked to wear, what he liked to, whatever. It didn't matter what other people thought. He was his own authentic true self. And that is why he's one of the most unique entertainers of all time, is because
yeah.
the things he did, girl, nobody else was doing. And he didn't care. He did them because that's who he was and what he wanted.
He wore jumpsuits because he liked Superman and things like that. Not Superman.
Yeah.
Captain Marvel.
Captain America?
Captain something.
Marvel. It was Marvel, anyway.
It was Captain.
Captain Von Trapp. Please.
Please don't. No.
I love Julie Andrews so much, but that's not the point of this podcast.
Anyway, moving back to Elvis doing what he wanted, I think that translates also into the songs he recorded. He was never above a certain
yes.
song. He was never like, oh my God, the Beatles sang this, so I could never. He's like, something in the way she was.
Hey, Jude. Like, honestly,
Grammy,
pop off.
Freaking the Bridge Over Troubled Water. Mm-hmm. He said, I know this was Grammy Award winning, but I'm going to record it because I like it. He wasn't, like, afraid to, like, but they sang it so good. He said, no, I'm going to do my own version.
And he also, always did that, too. Every single song he made his own, period.
I mean, oh, my God, Sweet Caroline.
Goodbye. Neil Diamond who? Like, I'm sorry. I know. We love Neil Diamond. I know we do. Tracy, my mom, loves Neil Diamond. But honestly, Elvis's version slaps so much harder for me.
Also, I mean, everything he did, people don't even know. Like, a lot of the songs that Elvis recorded are covers that people don't even know were covers. They're like, oh my God, you Google it, it's Elvis who comes up. Elvis Presley's song by Elvis Presley. The girl, he did not even.
I love but, it.
Also, that translates as well into the cities he performed in. Literally, who's heard of these cities? He would go to the smallest city, the biggest city in America, because yep. he knew people couldn't travel. Like, I will come to your hometown. Where is it? In your back garden? Be there. I'll be there,
girl. And that's
literally
something nobody else would do. Like, travel there. No one's gonna come see me there. But you know what? He sold out every single concert, no matter where he went. So
also, Elvis to be such a big star, Elvis wasn't like the opening act queen. Elvis was massive in his own time.
Right.
Not just like after he died or whatever, he was huge then. So to go to like tiny little states as a huge rock star and like sell out and like go to irrelevant places and be like, I'm here and I'm not above anyone here. I know you all love me, so I love you too.
Oh, he always says like, oh, you guys have such a nice little town. This is you're so welcoming here. I love you guys here. Like, always. I love it so much.
I have one more quote. It's very short, but it ties in with this idea. Okay. And he goes, you know those people in New York aren't going to change me none. I'm going to show you what the real Elvis is like tonight.
Get it, girl. He was never a city girl.
He was never a city girl. He was always a country boy. I love you.
He but always he, said, girl, I would never move from Graceland. Bye. To LA? No.
That was to a crowd in Memphis. So his, like, what he called his hometown is like, oh my God. Mm-hmm. We're here. We're queer. I mean, girl.
Oh, no. Said,
we're here. Oh my God. I'm going to give you guys a concert because I'm exactly the same as when I was born and bred. It's like, please.
He's the king. He's the king of my world. King of my world. Girl, please don't
king
let me say that
King of my
again.
Heart, girl. Leave.
King of my life.
Please.
That was so cute. Mine too. And I really, really, maybe if you guys like this episode, we can pick some more quotes because I have a ton marked. And I really like doing this. Looking at what Elvis has to say and how he felt is one of my favorite things ever.
He's the only source. Period. I'm just kidding.
No. I'm not, girl.
Oh, he's only one I so care good. About. Literally, when people are like, do you like? I'm like, nope. I only like Elvis.
Do you like? How do you feel about Linda? No.
Do you know about Red Wet? Who?
Girl, no.
Who is
That's
that?
So funny.
I do not care. Don't literally, do not talk to me about anyone. Joe Esposito. What?
Joe Esposito? Girl, please.
Literally, Joe Esposito.
Girl,
he's so sad.
Shall we wrap it?
I think you should wrap it up in a bow and buy me a Cadillac right now.
We love Elvis Presley. His personality, his... The way he just existed. Girl, I'm wrapping it. Can you not?
Why did I think you were going to be like, his Instagram is at Elvis.
Follow him at Elvis.
Is it just Elvis?
It's literally at Elvis. How iconic is that? They probably are like, girl, nobody else can use this.
I know whoever... used to run it is not running it anymore because they were popping this week. Can we talk about it?
I said this on my story. Instagram, whoever's running the at Elvis Instagram page right now knows what they're doing. Knows
they
what they're doing.
They either got replaced or woke the fuck up.
Girl, please.
Because it was so boring before, girl.
Yeah, I'm so glad that Elvis lived. Who else is glad that Elvis just existed? I am.
That is so emotional, please.
Even though I never met him, I feel as though, girl, I feel like I've known you forever. You know that song? Girl, please.
This has been such a good podcast. Remember our sponsor?
Yes. Surly Soon Media, our friend Jamie Kay over at the Jungle Run podcast. If you guys aren't subscribed to her, please, please do so. She is such a knowledgeable source in the Elvis community. So definitely go check her out. Thank you so much, Jamie. Surly Soon Media for sponsoring our show. That means the world to us.
Literally, thanks so much. This has been such a cute episode. Very nice, very neat. I love you, Mary. Thanks for coming.
Love you, Maggie. We'll definitely try to stick more to a schedule for you guys so that
it's
we can
so
not a schedule
hard.
Not a schedule probably, but just like, you know, more often trying to upload, you know what I mean?
True.
But anyways, shall we do the outro? Okay, until we meet again, may God bless you.
Adios. I thought we were going to say adios together, and that was the new thing.
Oh, let's do it again.